Okay, let's begin Shviyas Daf Mem Aleph. And we are up to the last daf here in the fifth parak, parak Benos Shuach of Masechah Shviyas. Benos Shuach, if you remember, are those special growths, the figs that take 3 years to grow, that when they sprout and they blossom in the Shviyas year, really they're only going to have Kedusha Shviyas when they come out in their full glory in the second year of Shemitah. So that's where we got into this whole section. But the past couple of Mishnayos, we have been discussing the issues of Lifnei Iver and giving a cow and giving kalim to your neighbor with a chshash that they might use it. So we just said in the Mishnah that a woman could give to her friend who is chashuda on Shviyas certain types of kalim, but she's not allowed to actually do the activity with her. Again, I'm not reading it now, but if you look in all the Rishonim in Chulin Daf Vav and in Gittin Daf Samach Aleph, all of them talk about this issue, because this Mishnah is quoted there. They talk about the issue of the difference between just supplying them versus being involved with them as well. And they also talk about there, the Ramban and in Chulin and the Rashba in Gittin talk about Can you be medayik from this Mishnah that a stam am haaretz is not chashuda on shvius, right? Because what does it say here that you could give to your friend that's chashuda on shvius nafakav v'tavik yirayim avlo tavav v'titchon and eishas chaver could give to the eishas am haaretz nafakav and even there's more kulis. So maybe this Mishnah sounds like that an eishas am haaretz is better than a chashud. So that's a question that they deal with. Is an am haaretz, an eishes am haaretz, is she chashuda on shviyas or not? That is discussed in the mefarshim. Okay, so we are on the bottom of mem amid beis. Says the gemara, Reb Zeira boi kumi Rebbe Mana masnisa b'stam. The mishnah, all the chilukim in the mishnah and the heterim in the mishnah about giving and sharing, Ibnei Darkei Shalom, that's by Stam, where you don't know if they're going to use it for Issa or not. You don't know if they're going to use it for grain. Aval bin Mefarish, but if they say specifically, I'm going to use this for grain, and where do they get grain from? It's not like nowadays where you have packaged and you could get it from, imported from a different country. If they have the grain, it's coming from Shemitah grain, right? So, Habim Mefarish, if they say hello, then you can't give it. Then you can't give it because then that already gets rid of the possibility of heter, and therefore why could you give it? Says the Gemara, Amar Leva Stam Allah Kepirushahu, but isn't Stam like explicit? Because what else would they be using it for? They're taking a sifter, they're taking a sieve, what else could you use it for? So the Gemara says, no, there are possibilities. Ani Omer, Nafa Lispar Bamos. Maybe they're taking a sieve in order to count their money in. It's a good place to keep their money. Kvara Lichbar Bochol. A kvara, again, a different type of separating instrument. These are all kli borer, right? Lichbar brachol, to put sand in, right? In order to, if you're making cement, then you want to sift the sand. Rechayim, a grinder. Litchon basam amanim. You want to grind herbs, right? So all of these can be used for something else. Tanur, an oven. Litzmon ba'un and shalpishtam. Why do you want to use an oven for? To store things in. Litzmon ba unin shal pishtan, to just put in there, maybe to heat it up, right? The Rasilio says, Kadesha yislabnu, meaning not for food, but to use it for a flax bundle. So again, you have, because these are all possible, that's why it's not Lifnei Iver. Lifnei Iver is only if for sure you know that you're going to use this for an Avera, that would be a problem. But as long as there's a possibility, even if it's somewhat far-fetched, it is still allowed. Tchina samamanim, we know, comes up elsewhere, Shabbos Nun Aleph most famously, and that's the Gzeira of Shechikas Samamanim. Right? It talks here about grinding Samamanim, because that's what's common. That was common. It was common to grind herbs for medicine. And that's why we know the Gzeira of Shechikas Samamanim, the Isser Durabanan of taking medicines on Shabbos in specific cases, is because we're worried about this. We're worried about the Shechikas Samamanim. That's the Gemara in Shabbos, again, on Daf, Nun Gimel, not Nun Gimel, Amar Ula Gzera Mishim Shchika Samamanim, Di Isharis, Rashi says. Di Isharis Shem Refu, if you allow people to take medicine on Shabbos, then when they're sick, they might come to want to make the medicine, and they'll come to grind, which is an Isser Da'araisa. But we know that this only applies to certain types of cholim, right? Somebody who's a chola sheishba sakana, somebody whose life is in danger, is allowed to do Malachas Da'araisa on Shabbos. Right? Forget taking medicine, even Malachas Daraisa on Shabbos. And even a chola she'ein bo sakana. The second category of chola. A chola she'ein bo sakana means a chola who's seriously ill, but it's just life is not in danger. Seriously ill. Somebody who's in bed. Someone who can't come to the Shabbos table. He has to stay in bed. He has to stay on the couch. He can't sit. That's a chola she'ein bo sakana. Somebody who has the flu. They're allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. That's not what the gzeira was about. The gzeira was for people who are less than both of those. Less than a chola she'ish bo sakana, and less than a chola she'ein bo sakana. What's called mechush ba'alma, or chola b'miksas. Right? Those, that's where Chazal said, you're sitting at the Shabbos table, but you feel a little, you know, you could use a little medicine. Something like that. So, or other types of slight pain, or even medium pain. So as long as you could function properly, you are not a chola she'ein bo sakana generally, and therefore, that's where the isser would be. But as we know, the gzeirah shel chagigas ha'manim, though there are those that say, oh, nowadays we don't crush herbs anymore to make the medicines. First of all, we do. There could be places out there that they do crush, herbs to make, certain types of herbal medicines. But even if not, it doesn't matter. Right, the halacha does not change because we don't have the authority to undo a gzeira d'rabanan. Right, but we don't have that, and therefore it is still a chai v'kaya. But there are many built-in heterim. Built-in heterim, where Chazal never goes. Again, this is all a d'rabanan. Chazal never included all of these contexts in the gzeira. So first of all, by medicine, just to mention two or three of them, food. If something is food, but I'm taking it for medicinal purposes, so then that's mutter. That's not included. Let's say I'm having chicken soup because I have a cold. And let's say I never have chicken soup, but I want it. It's called machal briyim. So that's mutter. That's mutter. Tea, soup, anything that's all, even if it's for medicinal purposes. Reb Moshe says this is part of the heter of taking vitamins. Vitamins. Did I take vitamins on Shabbos? So it says Reb Moshe, how many people take vitamins in the world and how many people are sick? You know, many, many more people take vitamins. So one of the reasons, Leheter, is that vitamin is a status of food nowadays. Some people only drink bottled water. They don't drink water from the tap. Is that medicine? They think it's healthier? No, it's machal briyim. It's anything that's called food. So one of the heterim of vitamins is that it's called food. Another tzad lahak, another svara for vitamins, which is a second svara, and that's what's called preventative. The whole gzeira is, oh, I'm sick, and therefore I might go to crush herbs in order to make my medicine. But if it's at all preventative, that was never included in the gzeira. The gzeira was, you might get sick and then do it. But if it's preventing illness, so that's all mutter. That's all mutter. So the vitamins heal something? No. Vitamins make you stronger in order to build antibodies in order to fight off illness. That's what vitamins are about. They're not curing, but they're strengthening. And that's another reason. Anytime it's preventative, let's say I know that I get heartburn whenever I have chalent. So I could take the Tums before. Tums also might be called food because might be the other heter. But let's say some type of antacid. If I take it before, or let's say somebody feel before it's coming on, a person could sense that a migraine is coming on. So they could take something to prevent the migraine. That's mutter. Once they have the migraine, they can't, until it gets so bad they have to go away from the table, and then you can take it because you're a chola she'ein bo sakana. But this is another, again, another tzad l'hakel, preventative. So food, preventative, there are other, cases I'm going to get into everything now. If somebody, since Eliezer has a tshuva, this comes up all the time. Taking medicine on Shabbos is also drabanan. But taking medicine for a week and a half is not also drabanan. So let's say somebody's on a 10-day course of antibiotics. So that's also the post-gemer mako. Some post-gemer mako, because that's not called taking medicine on Shabbos. That's called taking medicine for a week and a half. Besides the fact of you might mess up if you take it once a day and you can take it not on Shabbos, okay. But other than that, it would be a tzad l'hakel. But that's here, getting back to our Gemara. So if it is any type of even far-fetched activity that is possible, so then there is no lifnei iver, and I could give it to my friend, even if they are chashud for hilchos shvius. If they're not chashud, then I could always do everything, because I could assume they're buying it for after shvita. Rabbi Pinchas boy, bamekansu. So when they assered this, going back to the first part of the Mishnah, when they assered these limitations, which case? Is it a case where we're nervous This is somebody that might be eating, might be seeding. This is somebody who plans during Shemitah, and they're also chashed to eat fruit after the time of biur. Like either one is a problem. Or is the chashash only a situation where they plant during Shemitah? That's a serious chashed. But if somebody's only chashed to eat fruit after the time of biur, that's not on such as much a level of a chashed. Right, that's the question. When do we have this gzeira? See, the Rav Chaim Kanievsky says it. Avalo ochlin lo gazru al makom she ochlin pirish shachashudin lecho achar biur imenim chashudinami lizroa. Maybe Chazal only goes there on these chashudin if they're mamish, full fledged shvius violators. Right, not just eating after biur, but planting during shmita. So which one is it? So ma nafik b'neiom. Well, what's the difference? What will be a case of nafkamina? Ro oso lokeach min asirki. If you see one of them buying from a sirki, what's a sirki? The Marafolda says socher Yishmael, an Arab merchant, meaning a non-Jew. See, a non-Jew, if they buy from a non-Jew, meaning if somebody never, they don't plant, they're not chashed to plant their own stuff, but they buy stuff from the non-Jew, and they might keep it after Shvius. So in Tamer b'makom shezoren va'ochlin, if you say the gzeira is in either case, whether they're chashed to plant or they're chashed just to eat when they're not supposed to eat. Ro also lokeach min asirki. If you see them buying from a sirki and that's where they get their fruit, usser. Then it's usser because that if buying from a sirki, because even though they're only going to eat it, they're only chashed to eat it after the beer time, but they're not chashed to plant, but it's still usser. But in Tamar, b'makom shezoren ve'eino ochlin, but if you say the gzeira of giving it to a chashed is only if they plant, right? Not just if they eat after the beer, so roa, so lokam and asirki, then it'll be mutter. Then it will be allowed, and there wouldn't be a chash. Period. So you read this line of the Yerushalmi, and you think, okay, very nice afkamina, let's move on. You don't think it is a very important line. This line is huge. This line is huge. What is it huge for? There is a major machlokes haposkim, machlokes achronim, which we mentioned, I think, back in the Hagdama 40 days ago. We've been learning Shvias for 40 days. Baruch Hashem. 40 days and 40 nights. But there's a major machlokes, known as the machlokes between Rav Yosef Cairo and the Mabit. And that is there kedusha for Peres Shvias that are owned by a non-Jew? Peres shel akum be'eretz Yisrael during Shemitah. And that has major nafkaminas, which they talk about, meaning if the if the goy does not own it, so then does it have kedusha shvius? And then fine. But if a guy does own it, so maybe he owns it lagabi shmita, but maybe there'll be chumas and maestris. Right? The Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Cairo, and the Avkas Rochel says they're putter from chumas and maestris because the only reason for the putter of chumas and maestris during shmita is because it's hefker. But if they're not hefker, then there's no putter. And therefore, Rabbi Yosef Cairo holds that the fruit of an akum, if a Jew does meruach, would be chayiv and chumas and maestris. Because they're not mafkirit. In other words, Rabbi Yosef Cairo holds, they themselves are not mafkirit, it does not have kedusha. Do Peres Akum have kedusha during Shemitah? Rabbi Yosef Cairo and the Avkas Rochel and the Shuvah say no, the Mabit says yes. The Minog in all of Eretz Yisrael, except for Bnei Brak, is to treat it, hold like the Rabbi Yosef Cairo. That's where Rav Kook paskins, that's where Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank paskins, and that is what most Apotskim paskim, like the Rabbi Yosef Cairo, the Avkas Rochel, that it does not have Kedusha. The Mabit and the Maharit say, yes, it does, and that's what the Chazanish paskins, that's the Minogan Bnei Brak, to treat produce of a guy during Shemitah with Kedusha. What does that have to do with us? What does the Pashtus of our Gemara just sound like? Right, we just said, oh, nafkamina, do you have to be worried about a chashid when they buy the fruit from a guy? Do you have to be worried that they're going to eat it after beer or not? Are they only worried? It sounds like this, it has kedusha. Buying from a sirki, assuming a sirki is a non-Jew, this Gemara has seen, the way we read it, it seems pretty clear that buying fruit of a non-Jew during Shemitah, it has kedusha, and you have to get rid of it by beer. So the Rabbi Yosef Cairo in Simon Chavdalin in the Avkas Rochel, he has four pages in the Tshuva. In the second paragraph, he says, what do I do with the Yerushalmi and Shvius in the fifth parak? That seems to say, I hold that it does not have Kedusha. So he has to have a whole rereading of this whole Gemara. He has to re-understand the whole Gemara in terms of Knas, a different way of reading it, which we're not going to go into, but feel free to look in the Avkas Rochel, the tshuva that he wrote. He backed him back and forth with the Mabit. Right? The Mabit was in Tzfat with Rabbi Yosef Cairo. And the Kiryat Sefer, he wrote that Sefer on the Rambam. And the Beis Yosef and the Rabbi Yosef Cairo wrote the Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam. Kesef Mishnah became a lot more famous than the Kiryat Sefer, but they both wrote Svarim on the Rambam. But there, it's Simon Chavdal, is back and forth. Back and forth, a couple of tshuvas, with the Mabit, relating to this issue, relating to this major issue. Rav Kook, as I said, emphasizes that it does not have kedusha. But Rav Kook was also a very strong. Obviously, you have to support the farmers and do what you can to be involved in kedusha shashmita. But there's a letter. Rav Rimon quotes a letter from Rav Kook. I'll just read it in English. I have the Hebrew and the English. The pen in my hand quivers in the wake of the despicable act that has just been committed against our brothers, the farmers in the Moshavot. For after it had been finally established not to give a seal of kashrus to Gentiles, so as not to press the oppressed and weary who depend on the sale of grapes for their livelihood. Right, we have to think about the Jewish farmers during Shemitah. And after an agreement had been reached with respect to the Shemitah controversy, the essence of which was to benefit our brothers living in the Moshavot, underminers have appeared, secretly counseling to buy specifically from Gentiles and raise the banner of our enemies who mock our rest. Immeasurable is the disgrace, the desecration of God's name, and the enormity of the wickedness in this. Right, you know how much more profit the Goyim get during Shemitah because people don't want to find other options like importing or Otzer Bezdin or Het Mechira. No, only Akum. Only Akum. The Arabs make tons more money. Says Rav Kook already 100 years ago. It's terrible. The blood in my heart boils like a pot and my pain reaches heaven from this dreadful situation, from the fall of Torah and fear of heaven, evident in the situation. I wish to inform you that with respect to the vineyards of the Gentiles, there was great concern about Arla and Kilaya Kerem. Right, there are a lot of other problems. Don't think you're off the hook. We are known for the very close supervision over our brothers' vineyards. How can we turn the tables and buy from Gentiles that have no supervision only in order to persecute our brothers, our own flesh? Anyway, so Rav Rimon also is very strongly, we have to make sure that the Jews, the farmers, have what they need. Okay, let's continue. So again, this is an important line. Lokech min asirki. Again, the pashup shot is that it seems like there is kedusha to peros akum during Shemitah, but you know you got to rework it in order to understand the Gemara. Okay, we continue. Says the Gemara, v'kolam lo amru ella. The Mishnah says that all of these heterim are based only for Darkei Shalom. That's why you're only allowed to give them certain kelim and a buy only in certain ways. So that's the Gemara. Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina boy. Al kol pirka isamris, o al hal de his hilchas isamris. Did that line about Darkei Shalom that we just had in our Mishnah, is that referring back to all the Mishnahs in our parak? About the limitation of selling cows in certain situations, and the limitations of selling kelim, right? The Mishnahs that we had on Daf Lamed Tesema Beis about only giving certain jugs. Are all of those also only mutter because of Darkei Shalom? Or is just this last Mishnah? So, Rabbanit the Keser in Mishem Rav Yehuda bar Titas, all the first and talk about here. It can't be Titus, because you don't name after a Russia. Once in a while, you get a name that sounds like it. There's a Yerushalmi we had in Brachas, I think. Also, it sounded like Titus, and they changed it to Titas, like the on the side of the Gemara in the Megillah. There's a Tana named whose father's name is Avshalom, but it's Avishalom. It's not Avshalom. Here's one of those other names that all the Mefarshim in the back, you know, quote all the Gersology from all over Yerushalmi. So, Yehuda bar Titus, min ma de lo taninim begitin el ha'ad hilchasa. This Mishnah, our Mishnah, is quoted in Gittin. Remember the fifth parak in Gittin, which has all those Mishnahs about Darkei Shalom and Tikkun HaOlam. So there, only our Mishnah is quoted, not the other ones in the parak. So Hada Amral, Hada Hilchas is Amris. It must be that only about this halacha is it said, and not about the whole parak. Okay. Taman Tanina. We learned in a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. Nachtom Shu'osa Batumah. Again, we're talking about here in our Mishnah what you're allowed to do and not do with a woman who's chashud on Shemitah, Am Haaretz. So if you have a baker, a nachtom, shu'oseh b'tumah, not so careful about tumah v'tahara. Lo lashin v'lo orchin imo. You're not allowed to knead or shape the dough with him. Because that is, as the Maharav Folda says, asur l'sayed de'ovri avera. To be metameh, to work with tameh dough in Eretz Yisrael is not allowed. Lo lashem lo archinimo. V'taniya, again, why? Because maybe that's metameh d'chala. V'taniya la lo borerin v'lo tochenin v'lo markidinimo. You can't do separating, or the lama tes malachas, right? You can't grind, you can't sift. You can't do any of these, the Mishnah says in Avodah Zarah. V'hacha hu amar hachin, but what about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah here says, right in the middle of our Mishnah, what did it say? An Eishes Chaver can borer v'tochen esemur kedes imah. So Stira, why does the Mishnah Avodah Zarah tell us that you can't? And here it says that you can. Answer, Amar Rabbi La, Rabbi La we're familiar with from Yerushalmi, Kan l'chulin, kan l'truma. Over here we're talking about chulin. Chulin, there are more haterim. The Isser to be metameh or be involved in chulin tameh is an Isser to Rabbanan. You don't want to be marbech chulin tameh in Eretz Yisrael. So then we have more flexibility. Over there we're talking about truma. Truma tameh, chalat, that's an Isser daraisa. To be metameh truma, so that's an Isser daraisa, and that's why there are more limitations. Remember we mentioned the Avnei Miluim. I didn't bring it again, but the Avnei Miluim and the Tshuva, the Ksos and the Tshuva discusses, we know the principle of Ein Mevatel Nisul L'Chadchila. The Mishnah Maseches Trumos tells us you're not allowed to be Mevatel Truma, not allowed to be Mevatel Isurim. I can't take a little milk and put it in less than 1/60th of chicken soup to give it a little extra something, a little extra zing. Right? I can't do that. Ein Mevatel Nisul L'Chadchila. We assume that that is an Issur Rabbanan. It's a drabanan. Bittul works, but only b'di'evet. But, you know, you can't do that l'chadchila. But the Avni Miluim has a chiddush where he says, to be mevatel truma l'chadchila, that's an issur daraisa. Because there's a special din of guarding truma, mishmeres trumosai, and therefore says the ksos, again in a tshuva, I think it's around Simon Yuches or so, I don't remember, he says that that's an issur daraisa. Right, most Rishonim hold the whole principle is Nisad Rabbanah, but he holds that it's Nisad Araisa. Okay, so this is the chiluk between the Mishnah in Shvius. Mishnah in Shvius is about Chulin, Mishnah in Avodah Zarah is about Truma. Says the Gemara, one second. But it says, what are we talking about in Avodah Zarah? We're talking about a Nachtom. Vatina Nachtom. Islacha Memer Nachtom et Truma? A baker deals with huge, large quantities. You think he's dealing with Truma there? That can't be the answer. That can't be, A baker takes off a truma, gives it to the kohen, but he deals with chulin. So different answer. Chavraya Amri, kan beloseis, kan b'she'ena loseis. Kan, over here in Avodah Zarah, loseis. We're talking about where he moistens the wheat. He moistens the wheat, and therefore the wheat is mukshel l'kabal tumah. That's moist wheat, and that's why over there it can become tameh. Here in our Mishnah, dry wheat. Dry wheat, and therefore it's not going to become tameh. Kan b'she'eno loseis. Fine. And Masisa Messiah l'chavraya. And our Mishnah is a raya to this second view. That this is the chilek between moisture and no moisture. Why? Because what does our Mishnah say? What is the next line of our Mishnah? What does it say? To quote it. Avol mishatatel mayim lo tigatz la. Once the water is added, that's when you cannot touch it. She'ein machzikin di over avera. Not only, so according to this line, not only does the water being added make a difference because now there's a chiyuv of challah, right? We know when there's plain flour, there's no chiyuv of challah yet. That's too early. If I wanted to give to the kohen challah from just flour, doesn't work. Only once it becomes a dough, when it starts becoming a dough, when the water is added. So not only is that an issue for the chiyuv of challah, but that's the issue of becoming tameh. Becoming tameh, and that's the difference between the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah and the Mishnah in Shvius. Good. V'kulon lo amrel v'bnei darkei shalom. And this is all because of Darkei Shalom. If you remember, we had this line of V'kulon lo amra el v'bnei Darkei Shalom back earlier in the fourth parak. In the fourth parak, we had the same lashon. Machzikin yidei goyim b'shviyat el v'bnei Darkei Shalom. So, this is one of those, you don't have too many of these in Yerushalmi, in the Bavli sometimes. The next 15 lines till the end of the parak, we had on Daf Chav Tes already. The exact same words, the exact same shakla v'tarya. We'll read it again, because it's here again. And we'll remember some of the ideas. But the exact same phrase appeared in the Mishnah, so we have the exact same Gemara here too. Right, the Mishnah says that you could say machzik, you could strengthen the hand of the goy during Shemitah. What does that mean? What are you allowed to say to him? Rabbi Rabbi Imi. Chad amar, charosh latavus, vananasav laminach, bechusas shmitzah. Plow well. You're doing great. Plow really well because I'm going to buy some from you after Shemitah. So you're allowed to say that to the guy. plow well. V'charana amar, the other one says, Aisha. No, it doesn't, you can't tell him plow well. Just tell him shkoyach. Tell him, great job. Right, something more low-key. Manda amar tavus ma tavus. According to the one who says the first opinion, that machzikin means you could tell him, great plowing, keep it up. So masholin b'shloman, what does it mean later in the Mishnah that you're allowed to ask and see how they're doing? So that's Aisha. If it says machzikin, you're allowed to tell him, great plowing, then you're also allowed to just say, no, shkoyach. Man damar legoy, isher, but if you say that the machzikin yidei goy means just isher, means shkoyach in the yashar kachacha in the first line, so mashalom b'shloman, what did that next line mean in the Mishnah? So that must not be talking about saying anything to a guy, because you already said what you can say to a guy. B'shalom Yisrael, shalom aleichem. It means to a Jew, even a Jew who is working the land during Shemitah. You're not allowed to be machzik him. You're not allowed to say Aisha to him. But one is allowed to say Shalom Aleichem to them. Right? Aisha, if you have a chumash. Right, remember the Shkoyach comes up in Chazal. Right? I think Maran Shabbos has a Shkoyach, but it's the last Rashi in Chumash. The last Rashi in Chumash, right? The last couple of psukim in the Torah talk about the godless of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Torah ends off by going through every action that Moshe Rabbeinu did. The last part, l'kol yada chazaka, l'kol mara gadol. Every phrase is another act that Moshe Rabbeinu did for us. Le'enei kol Yisrael, the last, what's the highlight? The pinnacle of Moshe Rabbeinu's life and career. Shenisol libar lishbra luchos le'eneim. He decided to break the luchos. Shenemar va'ashabrim le'eneichem. I'll break it in front of your eyes. V'hiskima das HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'daito. And Hashem agrees, Shene'emar, Asher Shibarta, Yasher Kochacha Asher Shibarta. That's the last line in Rashi Al HaTorah. Shkoyach. Right? Shkoyach Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Moshe Rabbeinu a Shkoyach. Like an Aisher. That's Aisher. It's the same Lashon. That was his greatest moment. Moshe Rabbeinu's greatest moment is when he broke the Luchos. As we discussed that in the past. That was his greatest moment. That was his worst moment. Right? His magnum opus, he destroyed. So we like to quote in that context, Nehemiah Hamsuni. Right, remember he darshan every yes in the Torah except for one, until he got to Hashem Lukachatira and he realized that, you know, there's nothing to darshan. So it's Tamidim say, Rabbi, ma kokobacha darasha matahealayan. Right, what about all that you darshaned? What did he answer? Kashem shakibati schar la drisha kacha kapos schar la prisha. I'll get schar. I must be wrong. You can't include anything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu until Rabbi Akiva came along. And darshan as Hashem lekachatira l'rabos talmidei chachamim gemar and baba kama and kiddushin and psachim and ask the velt what did Rabbi Akiva know and see that Nehemiah Hamsuni was able to darshan every single s Rabbi he couldn't figure this one out. Rabbi Akiva had one thing that he didn't have, and he had a Nehemiah Hamsuni. Rabbi Akiva had somebody in front of him that was ready to throw away his life's work because he didn't think it was MS. He didn't think it was appropriate. He spent his life doing it. So he says, that's l'rabos talmidei chachamim. So I think it was Rav Gifter. I don't remember who said, that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu's life's work was the Luchos. He saw the Klai Yisrael, it wasn't matim for them now. It wasn't appropriate. They couldn't live with Luchos Rishonos. So he broke it. That's his greatest. It wasn't about him. It was about the Kavod HaTorah. It was about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Yashakoch HaShem Shibarta. I was at his kever. And Nehemiah Hamsuni is buried up north. He's right near Rabbi Yishmael. You go on the road, I forgot where it was. You go on right near Pekin, or I remember on the road, you see a sign. Nehemiah Hamsuni, Rabbi Yishmael. So there it is, right in the middle of nowhere. Anyway, okay. Dalma story. Rav Chinah Papa, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Avron Achad Mechar Sheshvias, right, they were once walking by people who were plowing during Shemitah. Amale Yeshua Bar Nachman, Aisher. He says to him, Aisher. Amale Rav Chinah Papa, Lokin Ofan Rebbe, didn't you learn? V'lo Amru Ha'ovrin Birchat Hashem Aleichem. Doesn't that Pasuk in Tehillim teach you? Ovrim. Don't say bracha, sha'asu lomar l'char she'shvias aisher. People working during Shemitah, you can't say shkoyach, you can't say chazak. Amar lei. So he answers, Rav Chinah bar Papa answers, likros atayodea, lidrosh ein atayodea. You know how to read psukim, but you don't know how to darshan. That, no, ovrim there doesn't mean people who violate Shemitah. It means, v'lo amara ovrim, elu ovdei kochavim, she'ovrim in ha'olam. So about the goyim. The goyim don't say, v'lo amru li Yisrael. They don't say it to Yisrael. Berachat Hashem aleichem. The Goyim don't tell us, the bracha that you bring. Ma Yisrael Omrin Lahen. What do the Jews say to them? The Goyim don't say to us that we bring any bracha. But what do we say? Beirachnu Eschem B'Shem Hashem. Meaning, Lo Dayechem Shekala Brachos Abos Olam Bizchuseinu. Not only, all the brachas in the world are for Bizchuteinu. Ve'natem Omrin Lanu Bovet Tulochem in a brachas Ha'ilu. Not only do you not give us brachos. But you also give us tons of taxes and you give us such pains. So they don't recognize. But remember when we did this earlier, Daf Chavtes, we quoted the Brisker Rav, his comment on the first Daf on Avodah Zarah Daf Beis, where they all come in the future to get their just reward. They say, we did everything for the Jews. We built markets and we built this and that. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shotim, you're fools. And the Brisker Rav said, what do you mean? Why didn't he call them Shakranim? What do you mean Shotim? So, you know, the answer is that really it was, in the end, it was for Klal Yisrael. That wasn't their Kavanah. That wasn't their Kavanah. So they're Shotim to say, to try to get credit for that. But this is all related to this Gemara, that they can't recognize that all the bracha is coming from us, because Kadosh Baruch Hu is behind the scenes, bringing the world to its ultimate state, along the way, giving brachas to the world, b'schus Klal Yisrael. Hadron Lapanos, Shuach, Shem, next time we start the sixth parak of Maseches Shviyos.